So there's nothing like a good storm, right? At least from the comforts of our living room. They look so incredible with the flash of lightning across the sky, mighty trees bending in the wind, and the sound of rain pounding on the roof. I imagine most of us have a good storm story. Mike and I did an epic camping trip, road trip, in 2017. I call it BC, Before Children, to celebrate the 100th anniversary of the National Parks. And so we did Yellowstone and Glacier, which were amazing and also kind of exhausting. And so on our way home, we had planned to stop at our favorite park, Teddy Roosevelt National Park. And this is in western North Dakota. It's all prairie. There's a few trees, not a lot. But it's just really beautiful. The sky is really big. We had been there a couple times before. And at the end of a two-week trip, we were like, let's just make it to Teddy. It's going to be great. And so we set up our tent in the usual spot. And we went to bed at the end of a really long day of traveling. And the clouds to the west, there was a slight tinge of purple. But it seemed kind of far away. And I went to bed thinking, would the campground host wake us up if there was like a tornado or something? But I fell asleep before I could answer that question. And in the middle of the night, Mike and I awoke to the sound of lightning, like, right over our heads. And there was hail pounding, and we couldn't even hear each other talk to each other. And, like, we're trying to, like, close the little tent window vents, and we get soaked in the process. It was so wild. The tent was shaking in all directions. And we debated, do we stay, or do we make a run for the car? We decided to stay. And in the morning, we discovered that we were the only tent in the campground that survived the night. Every other single, and there's like 100 sites, you know, this is a big campground. Every other camp tent had been like blown over, swamped. Everyone slept in their cars. I don't know if we were lucky or dumb, you know. And the next morning was like super frustrating because this beautiful prairie park had been transformed, and the Little Missouri River was covered in hail and was like freezing cold, and we tried to do a hike, but the mud was so intense we almost lost our hiking boots, and so we had to abandon our hike. And so we decided to give up, pack up, and go home a day early, because rumor has it there was another storm coming, and we didn't want to push our luck in our little tent for storm number two. But storms are really wild, aren't they? I think there's a reason they're called an act of God. I think about these biblical Near Ancient East people who mostly lived in things like tents and were exposed to the elements and worked in these tiny, tiny little wooden boats like canoes. And it makes sense that often in Scripture, God's power is compared in these incredible ways. The sheer terror and the power of the forces of nature can be overwhelming and has the ability to remind us of how finite and human and vulnerable we are. Just like the psalm today, you hear these folks where their courage melted, that they were staggering around like drunkards and at their wits' end. For these poor disciples, the Sea of Galilee it's a lake. It's not a huge sea, but it's surrounded by these hills. And so this storm would have taken them by complete surprise. As Mark writes, a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, and the boat was already swamped. And the disciples were dumbfounded that Jesus was sleeping through this. And so they wake him up saying, "Teacher, don't you care that we are perishing?" You can hear their anxiety and despair. And it's not hard to pivot these storms in Scripture to metaphorical storms. Storms of financial stress or physical health or relationships. some of these storms are predictable. The introduction of a new baby into the family, or the aging of a loved one who needs more care. And yet, these experiences still knock us off our feet. And other storms we don't see coming. There's no warning to duck for cover or safety. There's no time to pack an emergency bag, no tool that can protect our hearts or ease the suffering. And in the midst of these storms, perhaps you too call out into the fierce winds and pouring rain, God, where are you? Do you even care that we are perishing? Our first reading today is the story of Job. And Job is a story for the ages. It's a piece of Jewish wisdom literature, which means we don't know if this is a literal story or a figurative story, a metaphorical story that we are meant to take and let our imaginations run with. But it actually doesn't take much imagination to put ourselves into Job's shoes. But Job did everything right. He was a righteous man. And yet he lost everything. His wife died, his children died, his livestock got sick and died, his house burned down, his land was gone, everything was gone. And the question the book of Job wrestles with for 42 chapters is, does God test us? Is Job somehow at fault? Does God do these things to teach us a lesson? Job's friends go on for most of the book, round and round on this, surrounding him as he is lying in the dirt, attempting to comfort him with these platitudes. Well, God would only test you because God knew you could handle it. There must be a lesson in there somewhere. You must have done something wrong, Job. God is obviously mad at you. So just repent and your life will flourish again. Someday you'll look back on all this and see that God used this pain for good. And Job just takes it, beating after beating. Job refuses to blame God for it, and yet he doesn't leave God off the hook either. Job knows the situation is not his fault, and yet he wonders too, what is the purpose of all this pain, and where is God in the midst of such suffering? In the end of it all, we hear God's response, today's reading, God's answer out of the whirlwind. We cannot know the purpose or plan. God has been here since the beginning of beginnings and manages the whole cosmos. And so who are we to make guesses and suggestions on how God chooses to intervene? It's not quite comforting, as much as it is humbling. To remember that we can never fully know what God is up to and what God's plan is. And yet, what we can know about the all-powerful God who tells the waters of the universe, you shall not pass, what we can know is what God chooses to reveal to us through the person of Jesus. For at the beginning of this gospel story today, it seems like God is sleeping on the job. And yet when the disciples shake him awake, he rebukes the winds and tells the sea, peace, be still. And just as quickly as things began, there is a dead calm. Jesus asks the disciples, why are you afraid? Have you still no faith? I don't think we need to blame these poor, wet, exhausted, wind-whipped disciples. This is only chapter 4, Jesus. The journey has just started. And yet, if they, who have been hanging out with Jesus and have seen firsthand his power, if they are still worried, then this story gives us permission to be worried too. To ask deep questions, to shake God awake in the midst of our storms. Because from here, Jesus does not kick them out of the boat and recruit new disciples. He continues to walk with them, teaching and feeding the hungry and healing the sick and breaking down boundaries so that those in poverty can be included, Jesus sticks with them. For God knows, and I think all of us have a gut feeling about this too, more storms are coming. And so God does not leave us to fend for ourselves, but God continues to climb in the boat with us. And the beautiful thing about storms is they don't last forever. This current moment of chaos will dissipate. The load will become more manageable. And hopefully, as a community of faith, remembering that we are all in the same boat together, we can work together to be more resilient in the storms that show up. When I was leading my last congregation through a holy closure process, a colleague of mine taught me this little song / prayer that has really stuck with me. And so I want to teach it to you. The words and melody are really simple. But my hope is that this prayer will be a comfort to you when you cannot sleep and words are not enough, when the wild storms are making it hard for you to think, and you're at your rope's end, and it's impossible to be compassionate anymore. May you know that you are not alone and that God is with you in the boat. So I'm going to sing it once, and then I'll invite you to sing it with me. Three times, all right? Peace be still, peace be still. The storm rages, peace be still. Pretty simple, no? Peace be still, peace be still. The storm rages, peace be still. We got it. Peace be still, peace be still. The storm rages, peace.